Wintrust Business Lunch with Tom Gimbel, the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network, thelasallenetwork.com. Hey, Tom.
How are you, John?
Yeah, pretty good. I liked it in your preview to producer Pete. You mentioned some athletes that we all know one thing about, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady. They practice what they preach, don't they?
Well, they're the hardest working guys, and I think that that's, of every great athlete that we cheer for, the overwhelming majority, like almost 100%, are the hardest workers in their sport or on their team, and that's why they're so great. And I think your point was is that, you know, in our own careers, we don't practice what we preach. We cheer for greatness. We cheer for the hardest workers, but we'd want to put in as little time as possible at our craft.
We being managers, you're saying?
No, I think we being most professionals. I think that there is a sense of, you know, we don't want he's not playing anymore. We don't want Tiger Woods or Tom Brady or the coach of your college football team to have work-life balance. We want them to be dead focused on winning all the time. But when it comes to ourselves, we want work-life balance. We don't want to commute. We don't want to go into the office. We want flexibility. We want all these things. But they have a profession just like we do, but our expectations are higher of them than they are of ourselves.
Well, I think work-life balance is something we should all pay attention to, but isn't your bigger point here that too often the top of the food chain at a company wants everybody to work hard, but he or him herself don't want to put in the same sort of effort that they're asking from everybody else?
Well, I think that there's two sides to it. I think number one is that as we're going back in this new world we live in of remote work and flexibility and what's available to folks, is that I do believe that leaders need to practice what they preach. And I think that if they want people coming into their office, that leaders should be in the office as well. I firmly believe that. On the flip side, I also think that employees have to look and say, what do I want to accomplish in my career? What's the parallels to this? And I'm willing to contribute. I shouldn't have to be bribed or massaged all the time to do my job and to do it at a very high level.
Well, where do you think we are in that continuum then as a work society? We're working too hard, or we're working too hard at that balance at home and not working enough, not actually putting in the effort that these jobs require?
I think the amount of work isn't as relevant as what the expectations are for compensation for said work, meaning that because unemployment's so low, it's still an employee-driven market. However, that if somebody doesn't want to work 60 hours a week, I'm all for that, but they shouldn't be compensated at a level equal to somebody who's accomplishing that much more. Now, the comeback people always say is, if I can do in 40 hours what somebody else is doing in 60, then that should be fine. And I would say absolutely. There's very few people that have that ability, but absolutely. We should reward results. And if people want to put in more time to achieve more, they shouldn't be knocked for being a workaholic. They should be rewarded for achieving what they've set out to do.
Is it harder to ask for a raise if you're a work-at-home employee?
At this moment today, it's not. Will it be 6 months from now? I do. I believe it will be. As inflation continues to creep up, and God only knows what's going to happen in Eastern Europe, I think that things are going to start to recalibrate with that inflation number. So I think it will be. But right now, I think that if you're doing a great job and you're showing an ROI on what you do, that, you know, you probably deserve it as companies continue to make more money.
Very interesting. Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. Visit thelasallenetwork.com. By the way, Gary just texted in, one of our listeners, to say, at heaven's door, no one ever said, gee, I wish I'd spent more time in the office.
You know what you got to tell Gary, John?
No.
They only ask the rich people that. They never ask the poor person if she wishes she had spent more time working.
That's Tom Gimbel over at LaSalle Network. We'll talk next week, Tom.
You got it, John. Stay healthy.
Scott Bowers on the line on the Wintrust Business Lunch, the CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Hey, Scott, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm, I I suspect our listeners may recognize your name or business because we've been talking to you for a completely different reason lately, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, what's going on in Ukraine. But tell us what Prosper Training Academy is.
So we are an online education company, and we teach people how to trade in the markets live with them during market hours. So as we're speaking right now, I'm actually online with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of students, and we try and capture, you know, any sort of movement in the market, both trading stocks, options, cryptocurrencies. All of our educators, like myself, we're all professional traders, have been there on the floor for a long time, and that's what we do.
Buying and selling?
Buying and selling, absolutely. We take short-term positions, not really so much longer-term positions. We do have a day trading class. We have some other classes where we hold our positions a little bit longer than that. But it's really all about the education, John.
When you do that, are they just using fake money, or are they actually using their own personal assets?
No, they're using their own accounts. We do not trade for anyone, but these are people actually trading real live money. And you know, we're showing them live in the markets as things are happening. So absolutely. And obviously, you know, with a big announcement this morning with CPI, we saw some market movement. So, you know, a little bit of activity this morning.
Yeah, you bet. Actually, the markets aren't swinging wildly. They seem to be tempered down because earnings tend to be pretty good, but the numbers sure are dynamic these days. How much money do you ask people to have in order to be able to participate? How much assets should they have in order to trade?
Sure. So we go through a very long, thorough background check with them to make sure that this is suitable, you know, with them in terms of experience, in terms of what sort of liquidity they have. But when they open their accounts, and again, they're not with us, they're free to open an account with whatever brokerage firm they want. We typically suggest somewhere $5,000 to $10,000 to start off with.
Do you say $5,000 to $10,000 to lose?
No, absolutely not. $5,000 to $10,000 so that they can have the opportunity to be able to participate in all of the signals that we are sending out. So in any one day, we may send out signals, 5, 6, 7 signals a day in terms of buys, sells, again, depending whether it's in the option side or stock side. So, we recommend that our students participate in as many as possible because you don't want to be, you know, trying to cherry pick or pick and choosing which ones to take. We've been doing this collectively, myself, the other professional traders who are our educators. We literally have about 130 years of combined professional experience doing this. Myself, I was on the trading floor for 20 plus years and have been in the business for 32 years. So we have a pretty big background in this business. There's obviously no certainty at all, anytime, with trading, and we let people know that up front, but our results are pretty good.
We're talking to Scott Bauer, the CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. So what opportunities does the market present right now? What signals are you sending out?
Sure. So I think overall, you know, the sell-off that we've seen recently in the last few days after the big run-up that we saw last week, I think we still have some more to go, to be quite honest with you. The market's rallied back a little bit today based on the CPI number, the inflation number, which is, you know, a very red hot number. But there's still a lot of macro events, John, that are really hanging over this marketplace. You know, front and center, obviously, for people here is inflation, interest rates, and then you tie in the geopolitical risks still, which seemingly are just increasing, not decreasing. And it's hard to think that the market's going to make a big move higher in the short run. Now, I firmly believe that by the end of the year, we will be considerably higher than where we are right now. But I just think that there's too many overriding risks to the marketplace right now to be confident to be taking some new long positions, if you will.
So if you think the market is going to be stronger at the end of the year, you said considerably, I think. Are certain sectors or stocks going to lead that, and are those the buy options right now?
Yeah, so I like going further out into the end of the year. I like the financials, especially after they have really gotten hit quite a bit over the last few weeks with this big run-up in interest rates. I like stocks like a J.P. Morgan, a Goldman Sachs, you know, some of the bigger names in the financial space. I also think some of the payment processors, where that space has really, really been hit over the last few months. So you talk about maybe a Square, a PayPal, even a Visa. I think stocks like those, you know, especially the larger names in a particular space, are really going to be the beneficiary of a big market rebound towards the end of the year. But again, in the short run, there's a lot of headwinds that they are battling.
Yeah. You're not worried about the new tax law that will require people to report transactions over $600 to those third-party payment apps?
No, not really. I don't think that's going to keep people out of the space. I don't think that's going to lower the amount of transactions. You know, that's just, you know, this industry over time has always kind of moved along, and there's always been new tax laws, new regulations. Some people like them, some people don't like them, and the industry has always evolved, and I think this is just another thing that's just going to be wrapped in to, you know, what we know, and it's just going to be an afterthought sooner rather than later.
Scott Bauer is the CEO at Prosper Training Academy. I've taken more time than I should have, Tom. Give me 20 seconds on our friend Leonid.
Yeah, so the band is scheduled to come tour here. They're scheduled still to be here at the end of April. Serge, the lead singer, who you and I have been discussing over the last few months, who is in Kyiv, will not be with the band. He cannot leave Ukraine. Things in Ukraine are getting worse. They're not getting better.
Yeah.
But the band is still coming here. And I think, you know, the thing to really remember is, at least personally, this is not the Russian people that have started this or are accelerating this. There's a lot of, you know, political discussion that we could have, but the band is coming. Serge is not. I am in contact with Serge every single day. His family is safe out of Ukraine right now. That's kind of the update with them.
Okay. More about that later. It's good to hear about Prosper Trading Academy, and we'll talk more down the road.
Thank you so much, John.
Scott Bauer is a friend of the lead singer of a group called Leonid and Friends. It's a Chicago cover band from Russia and Ukraine. The lead singer, Serge, is his friend. They are coming to Chicago. They're amazing. By the way, I'm just perusing again through the New York Times Sunday Magazine issue this past weekend, the issue with billionaires, and they talk about all sorts of things about billionaires. We'll visit with one of the writers of this long series of articles and charts and graphs in the 1 o'clock hour, but just one detail stands out as I'm looking at it again today. The median family wealth for Black American households, the wealth for Black households, is $24,000. The median white household has nearly eight times that. That's not income. That's household wealth is $24,000, the median for Black Americans. And yet, says the article, according to Forbes, there are eight Black billionaires. And I'll bet you could name them if you set your mind to it. We'll get to that in the 1 o'clock hour. Not just that detail, but billionaires in general. Are they good? Are they bad? Are they indifferent? Are they helpful to the economy or whatnot? I don't know. Maybe Ted Rossman has something to say about billionaires. He's a billionaire, senior industry analyst at creditcards.com. Welcome back, Ted. How are you?
Doing well. Not a billionaire, but still doing well. Thank you.
And maybe that voice is what we need to know. It's not to be a billionaire. It's to be the best you can be and be happy with that. How does that sound, Ted?
That sounds good. I like it.
Americans like to go on vacation and spend a little money in the summer. Are we going to do that this year?
Surprisingly, a lot of people are pulling back. This was really contrary to our hypothesis when we started this project. We found that only 47%, let me rephrase, 47% will not increase their discretionary spending in any of the popular categories we asked about. So that's travel, dining, out of home entertainment, in-home entertainment, some other things on there too, like clothes, electronics. physical fitness. I was really surprised that basically half of Americans are not going to be spending more on these things. I really thought there'd be so much pent-up demand that people would just be raring to go. But people say no. They say that they're actually cutting back.
Why are they doing that?
I think inflation's probably the biggest reason, although I would note that there may be a difference between what people say and what they do, because this is something we've seen really for the better part of a year now is consumer confidence has been low, but the actual data has mostly been better. So right now, the job market's doing really well. Very few people are unemployed. Wage growth has been high. I know inflation is outpacing some of this, and that's really the elephant in the room. But, you know, people have been spending robustly on goods. We're starting to see that migrate over to services. The airlines are reporting strong demand. Restaurants have done well in the past couple of monthly retail sales reports. I tend to wonder if there may be this divergence between it doesn't feel great, but people may actually be doing better than they think and ready to unleash some of this pent-up demand.
And to your point that what you say and what you do may be different things, 30-plus thousand people are going to be spending money on the White Sox game on the south side of Chicago today, and sports are back, stadiums are back. The fear of going to those things is much diminished. You've got to be spending more money on sporting events, if nothing else, this summer than you have the last two, right?
I think so. And I think the same thing could extend to concerts, travel, dining. I mean, it's too bad that inflation is hitting so many people so hard because we kind of feel like we can't win, right? It's like the past couple of years we were cooped up because of COVID. A lot of people weren't comfortable going out. I mean, these things are related. There is clearly the supply and demand aspect. But some of it was unforeseen. You know, I think certainly Russia's invasion of Ukraine has made a lot of this worse. I think also just inflation in general has proven to be a lot more long-lasting and systemic than the Fed thought. You know, this whole bit about, oh, it's transitory and it's just lumber and used cars. I mean, clearly we're seeing the highest inflation we've seen in 40 years, and it's on basically everything. And this is the glass half empty side, is like if you're paying a lot more for rent and gas and groceries, there's not as much left over. I think the glass half full side, though, is a lot of people saved a lot of money the past couple of years. Even though debt has been creeping up, it's still lower than it was pre-pandemic. And I think a lot of people just want to enjoy themselves. And, you know, I'm not against that. I don't want to say, oh, you can't have any fun, you can't do anything. I mean, I'd like people to do it responsibly and not take on 20% credit card debt. But, you know, I think the point is that we can all find something fun to do this summer, hopefully. Maybe it's a shorter trip. Maybe it's more of a staycation. But I do think people want to get out and do things.
Inflation has not been transitory. But when they said that, maybe the things that were causing rises in prices or shortness at the on the retail shelves, maybe those things were transitory. Lumber prices are less expensive now. Supply chain issues are mitigating. But they did not anticipate Omicron or, say, the war in Ukraine. They're wrong, right? I mean, inflation is higher than they said it was going to be. But the things they were looking at the time, it was their short-sightedness that maybe doomed them, huh?
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I mean, they do call economists the dismal science. You know, it's notoriously difficult to predict. You know, we think about even wonky kind of stuff like the inverted yield curve. You know, that's something people are talking about again now. Basically, short-term rates are going higher and longer-term rates are still kind of depressed. And like, isn't that backwards? Isn't that weird? I mean, it has sometimes been a warning sign of a recession. I guess technically it was right about the COVID recession. But, you know, what you were saying just made me think of that because it wasn't necessarily right for the reasons we expected, that yeah, like nobody really saw COVID coming. And there are all these unforeseen life events. I think the best we can do is just to, you know, be smart about our own salaries and budgets and debt and, you know, get that 0% balance transfer card, pay down that credit card debt, but still find a way to have some fun, too, because that ultimately is what life is all about, and I don't think you need to be totally hunkered down this summer. But we are seeing a lot of people cutting back, and I think inflation is at the forefront of their minds.
Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at creditcards.com. Nice to talk to you, Ted. Thanks for the insight.
Yeah, same here. Thank you.
One man, Vladimir Putin, is turning the world upside down. Isn't it amazing how that works? I will already tell you that Time Magazine's Person of the Year is going to be Volodymyr Zelensky. And if it's not, it's going to be Putin. It's also 1244 on WGN Radio. And the business news continues with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A fight is brewing between neighboring suburbs over which one will lay claim to Allstate's longtime corporate headquarters campus when it's redeveloped into warehouses. A Nevada developer is buying the 232-acre property at 2775 Sanders Road with plans to demolish the office buildings there and build 11 warehouses. The question is which community will sign off on the plan. The site is mostly on unincorporated property bordering Glenview, Northbrook, and Prospect Heights, but it's unclear which community actually has the right to annex the site, which would generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Cranes reports the developer may be leaning towards selecting Prospect Heights because of its tumultuous history with Glenview. United Airlines is hiring in Chicago as travel is set to increase in the coming months. The airline is planning to add 1,000 workers for its Chicago-based operations. United will be holding a career fair Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the United Center. Available positions include ramp service employees, customer service agents, technicians, flight attendants, and corporate jobs. The airline cut back on service and executed several rounds of job cuts during the pandemic. Now United is taking steps to prepare for an industry rebound. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yes, sir. It's a big day on our food calendar, a celebration of one of our primary comfort foods. So let's begin with Happy National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day.
Yes, Happy National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day to you as well.
That's Michael Ventura, the general manager of the Mars Cheese Castle in Kenosha, which has been serving grilled cheese sandwiches for decades to travelers along I-94.
So we're celebrating our 75th year.
And before we get to the history of the Cheese Castle, let's talk about what a good grilled cheese sandwich is all about. There's some ooh and goo, isn't there, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Definitely gooey, melty, savory. We use top quality ingredients. And then we have these really special griddles that hold the temperature just right. And you're going to get crispy outside layer, crunch into that, and you get the gooey, soft, warm, savory. It's amazing. I like to say we serve food that makes people happy.
Michael is the third generation to run the Mars Cheese Castle.
In 1947, my grandfather, Mario Ventura Sr., started the business.
Grandpa Mario was just out of the Navy and living in California when he saw businesses popping up next to these new things called interstate highways, which Wisconsin did not have yet.
So he used that information to come back, and at the time he set up shop along this gravel highway that eventually became Interstate I-94 in one of the busiest corridors in the country.
And Michael says the castle theme, complete with thrones and all sorts of castle gimmicks, came from his grandfather's desire to treat customers as royalty.
We want them to be the king and queen when they're in here. That's how strongly he felt about great customer service.
And it looks like a castle.
It's as authentic as you can get in Wisconsin.
Pre-pandemic, over 3,000 people would pull in on a summer weekend to check out the up to 1,000 varieties of Wisconsin cheese. Right now, the castle is open Thursday through Monday. Mars Cheese Castle, just north of the Cheese Curtain on I-94, exit 340. And thanks to the listener who tipped us off to the Wisconsin Grilled Cheese Championship, yes, which is going to be April 23rd at Harris Park in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. That's about 3 hours from Chicago, just up I-90 and west of Madison. Or there is a lot you can get here in Chicago. A lot of places serve grilled cheese sandwiches. You can eat your heart out. And that's a business of food on 720 WGN.
Scott Catoon is the co-founder of Songfinch. We talked about this yesterday here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, but we didn't talk to Scott. Hi, Scott. You're on the air. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. How are you doing?
Good to hear your voice again on WGN Radio. You hosted a weekend show
Tell
for
me
us
about it.
On the tech side not that long ago, but There was an interesting story the other day that Jim Dahlke was talking about your business. How are things going?
Things are good. Things are good. It's great to be back on WGN. Obviously, I had co-founded a company called Technori, which we did the startup showcase for, I don't know, 4 years at WGN. And I recently sold that company in the same week that the announcement came out for Songfinch. So it's been a busy couple of years with COVID and so forth over here. And Songfinch, you know, it's a great story in Chicago, and it kind of continues on this pathway where the entire creator economy, which was, in my opinion, started by Steve Kalanis and Cameo, comes through Chicago. It's Cameo, Songfinch, and now another company called Protégé, which is also a creator economy platform founded by the former CFO of Cameo. So it's also cool is that Cameo and Songfinch both launched at the Technori event in 2017. So literally, I've been kind of at the nexus of this for, feels like, 5 years now.
And this business, Songfinch, enables people to get, if I wanted a vanity song written and performed for me, or if I wanted to be the vanity song performer for you, we could trade money, and I create a song and you get a song, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it's the product started off as not dissimilar from Cameo in that it's a gift. Like, if you want to go on our platform and discover one of our 1,000-plus artists that create songs for us and for you, you could do that. You could share a couple stories and give it to your wife or your brother or your sister, your mom, whatever, for any number of reasons, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, et cetera. And the artist gets half the money. And, you know, we have more 10 plus artists, whatever, making close to six figures creating songs. And we've got the average artist making somewhere on 15,000. So there's a lot of money made for artists that traditionally have a real hard time making money. But one of the cooler parts of this product over the last, I don't know, year and change is the evolution of the customer. Like, it is still predominantly people buying for gift, but I would say upwards of, you know, 18 to 20% of our customers now are buying the song just because they're going on a road trip and they want to create their own custom album to listen to. They're having a party. They want their own custom album. People using it for podcasts and TikTok and you name it. Like, the number of applications are crazy. But I think I shared with you as a puppy. People are making songs for their dogs. Like, it's crazy.
Well, so that's the point. The music is as good as the music is good. Let's listen to a little of Pete. You want to do Puppy, or shall we do the Stillman song? Let's do a Stillman. There's a story behind this one, too.
I don't need the spotlight. I can take the backseat with a smile and be all right. As long as you're all right. December 29th, 2016, the day you said yes, me on a knee, it changed my life, for the better, alright.
So that's a song that is evidently important to two people. And December 29th, 2016, who is singing what about whom there?
That is one of our artists, Stillman. He is incredible. He writes for a lot of big artists as well, so it's not just for us. He wrote this song for Alexis Ohanian, who's the founder of Reddit, and his wife, who is the greatest tennis player and female athlete in the history of the world, Serena Williams. The song is commemorating their wedding and the birth of their daughter, Olympia.
What is a song like that going to set me back?
It's $200. It didn't matter that it was two really, really famous people. All the songs on our platform are $200, and you know, like I said before, the artist gets half the money, and Stillman, if I'm not mistaken, he's done, you know, 500 plus songs. He's literally generating, you know, $75,000+ a year doing this.
It's really interesting. All right. So how do I go if I go to songfinch.com, huh?
Yeah, it's real easy. I mean, you go to songfinch.com and you can decide you want to pick an artist. You can browse through all these 1,000 artists we have and listen to all their different kinds of songs and get a feel for who they are and read their backstory and learn about them. Or you can just say, hey, I don't really care. I want you to do it. And we will pick the right artist for you based on our sort of algorithm on the back end of our artist community. From there, you are going to go to a flow. It's basically like filling out a type form. Tell us what the occasion is. Is it for you? Is it for someone else? Is it for a gift? And share a couple stories about, you know, that person or yourself and some inspiration and why you want to do this. You can, if you didn't pick the artist, you can select the genre or happy or sad or, you know, whatever the case may be. And the op gets sent to the artist, and within 7 days, you have your own personal custom one-of-a-kind song.
I'll feature more of them in the next hour. Scott Catoon's the co-founder of that. Well done, Scott. Fascinating. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk again.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Awesome, John. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm glad you're doing it.